Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1 once again. Luke chapter 1. And let's pray. Father God, as we look at your word this morning, I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be receptive and that your word may go forth with the power of the Holy Spirit. Work in our lives, Father. Help us to know your word and to obey your word. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to look at one verse of the verses that Bob read, kind of zero in on it as the foundation for what I'm going to say this morning. In Luke chapter 1, the very last verse that Bob read, verse 37. For nothing is impossible with God. For nothing is impossible with God. On Christmas Eve, we looked at the subject of God being with man. This morning, I want to look at the subject of that little phrase, with God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. You know, there are many things in our lives that 100 years ago just seemed impossible. Think of television and how now we can beam television to satellites and put television all over the world. I mean, you can go from TVs we used to have, and now we buy all the flat screen, big panel TVs, and you know, you look at the TV, and sometimes their heads are bigger than your head. So it feels like they're in your living room. 100 years ago, that was just unimaginable. 100 years ago, who would have thought that we could go to the moon and back and do it on several occasions? 100 years ago, just think, which we just could not think then, what computers can do today. You know, now we have not only the big computers, but we have little computers. And I was watching the other day, this guy was talking about how his cell phone wouldn't work. And it was an old movie, and his cell phone was like this big. And he's saying, boy, these things just don't work. And now, you know, they're this big. And isn't it funny now that they're starting to make phones bigger again? You know, the more we go to smartphones, the bigger they're getting once again. But 100 years ago, all these things that we just take so much for granted today, 100 years ago, absolutely impossible. Never would have thought they could have happened. But they have happened. And in this verse, it tells us something about what still could happen, especially with God involved. Verse 37 says, with God, nothing is impossible. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says that we can go to God in prayer. And with God in prayer, God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that works in us. You know, the problem with us is that in our heart and our mind, it's not that God is too big. It is not that we ask for too much. It's that it's all too often that our faith is so small that we make God really small. And we don't realize how much we could accomplish if we would just trust God. We don't realize how much we could do if we would just trust God. We don't realize how much would happen in our life if we understood how great God really is. Nothing is impossible with God. Absolutely nothing is impossible with God. Why don't you notice those words? The word nothing in our translation is actually three words in the Greek language. It is the word not, the word all, and then a word that can mean a transaction, a thing, a matter, a business action. So, matters. Not all matters. When we put them all together, it comes to the word nothing, all three of these words. And then we look at the word impossible. It means to be unable or powerless. Now, when you put that together with the word nothing, what it's saying is that with God, we are not powerless to accomplish anything. With God, nothing, absolutely nothing, cannot happen when He's involved. In other words, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things can happen. With God in our life, we can do anything. With God, all things are possible. Now, let me say that doesn't mean you go run out right now and go sit in your car and wish for a Cadillac. Or some of you go out and run your car and wish that we don't get 4 to 10 inches, we only get a half inch. Or in the case of my wife, she'll pray we get a foot. It's not just going out and saying, all right, God, there's a whole bunch of things that I want, and if I get these things, I'm going to be really happy. In fact, think about it. Let's do a little probing. What is the thing that you got for Christmas that you are most excited about? What is the thing you got for Christmas, a Christmas present that you are most excited about? A new computer, all right? Who else? Book you wanted, all right? Who else? Thing you got yesterday that, man, that was the thing you really wanted. Pistachio? You mean peanuts? That works. I'll be over your house later.
Yeah, my whole family lives together.
Your family together. All right, one more. Absolutely. Except for the one she just mentioned. Because she ruined my illustration. I want you to know something about God. He's not Santa Claus sitting in the sky. God is not just sitting in the sky waiting to be your Santa Claus. You know, we go to verses like this and we think, oh man, this is awesome. This is so great. I'm now going to go and get all the things I wanted to get. God is not Santa Claus just waiting in the sky to make your life absolutely, you know, exciting and happy and make you feel good. That is not God's purpose in life. And that is not God's purpose in our life. With God, nothing is impossible, but we need to realize God is not just waiting to give you everything that you hope for. The reality is, if you understand who God is, He's going to give you much more than what you could ever hope for. So be careful when we look at the verse that we just don't go running to this verse and say, man, this is great. I'm going to get a Cadillac. I'm going to get all these other things that I always wanted to get. That is not what God is all about. But realize that with God, nothing is impossible. In fact, look at this passage. God goes to a young girl who is a virgin, because God must bring His Son without man's sin. And guys, unfortunately, the Bible says that sin is passed down through us. So God had to be born. God had to come to this world without the involvement of a man. So He comes to a virgin girl and says, you're going to have a child. And she says, how? The angel says, with God, nothing is impossible. God can do the unimaginable. God can do that which we can't even imagine. And He does it for His own glory. Not only do we have it with this girl, but if you go back to verse 11, this was not the only thing that happened during this time that was a miracle. Back in verse 11, we're told that an angel appeared to Zechariah. And Zechariah was told that he would have a child also, even in his old age. And down in verse 18, he said, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. Notice he didn't say his wife is old. Guys, you know, just that's a good thing to remember. My wife is well along in years. How are we going to have a child? With God, nothing is impossible. At this time, for God to do these two great miracles was for His glory, and so that He can bring His one and only Son, who would ultimately come and die on the cross for us. With God, nothing is impossible. So I want to look at that this morning. I want us to think about things that the average person may think is impossible. And then I want us to look at what God can do when God is involved. How God can make that which is seemingly impossible very possible. So let's look first of all at Matthew chapter 19, if you'll turn there with me. Matthew chapter 19, let's begin with this. With God, heaven is possible. With God, heaven is possible. Matthew chapter 19, I want to begin reading in verse 16. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" You know, think about the average person who thinks about heaven. Most people that I come in contact with and I ask, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Most of them will answer, "I hope. I think so. I might. Well, I really hope so." I want you to notice that this guy who came to Jesus asked the right question. Came to Jesus and said, "What do I need to do to get to heaven?" And you know, that's usually how people phrase it. What do I need to do to get to heaven? Because we think there's got to be something I got to do if I'm going to go to heaven. So what is that thing that I need to do to go to heaven? And we try all kinds of things, right? Some of us try to transform our lives. Others think, well, I'll get to heaven. All I got to really do is be more religious. Or I'll get to heaven if I go to church more. If I'm better to my spouse. If I'm a nicer person. And if I do things like this, then I'm going to get to heaven. And these are the things that the average person thinks, you know, that'll get me there. Or the classic is, all I got to do is be born into the right religion. Right? Because a lot of people say, I am going to die in the religion I was born in. So the only thing I really need to do is be born into the right religion. If I'm born in the right religion, man, I've got it made. Teacher, what do I got to do to get to heaven? Notice also, he came to the right person. He went to Jesus. Could have asked a whole bunch of different people. He came and he asked Jesus, "What do I have to do to get to heaven?" Notice Jesus' answer in verse 17. They begin to interact with one another. "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man required. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Now, I want you to know that the man's answer is wrong. And if you are trying to do what he was trying to do to get to heaven, I want you to know you're on the wrong path. Jesus basically here quotes some of the Ten Commandments. And he says, if you want to go to heaven, obey the commandments. The man says, I've done them all. I've kept all of these. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that the purpose of the Ten Commandments is to show that we can't keep them. To show that we will never measure up to God's standard. The purpose of the Ten Commandments is to let every person who's ever been born to know this, that here is God's standard. No matter how good you are, no matter how nice you might be, no matter what you do in your life, you will always fall short. You will never measure up. You never reach the place that God wants you to reach in order to get to heaven. That place is perfection. So I'm sure somewhere along the line, this man had to have broken these commandments. But Jesus does not get into that question. He kind of wants to go in a different direction, and he wants to really get to the man's heart. So notice verse 21. Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. What Jesus is doing here is getting really to the heart of the issue, and the heart of the issue is the heart. The heart of the issue is what is taken up in your heart. This man had great wealth, and the Bible tells us that when we have great wealth, that our heart often gets stuck on our wealth, and the thing that becomes center in our life is our wealth, is our money. Jesus said in Matthew 6 that you can't serve two things at the same time. You can't serve God and money at the same time. You will either love one or and hate the other, love that one and hate this one. You can't do both at the same time. And Jesus knew in this man's heart it was full of wealth. And therefore, in all reality, he could not turn from his sin, and he could not turn to follow God. You know what? He's not the only one. All we have to do is look at yesterday, and we find out that there's a lot of people who get stuck on the things of this world. In fact, turn with me back. Hold your finger here and turn back with me a few pages to Matthew chapter 13. The Bible makes very clear that there are others who get stuck on money and get stuck on the things in this world, and because they do, they will not go to heaven. They cannot have a right relationship with God. Matthew 13, Jesus gives a parable of how the seed falls on the ground, and in that illustration, it is an illustration of our hearts and the Word of God trying to penetrate our heart. Jesus gives four types of soil which relate to four types of hearts, and as they relate to the Word of God trying to penetrate your heart. Now, I want you to know this morning, every one of these hearts is represented here this morning. So look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed that was sown along the path. This is an illustration of a hard heart. You know, want to know what a hard heart is like? A hard heart may be represented by one or more people here this morning. Hard heart says, look, I know what God says, but I could care less. Hard heart says, I know what you're doing, you're preaching the Word of God, but I really don't want to hear it. Hard heart says, I'd rather be home in bed than here. Hard heart says, I really don't want to hear God's Word. I want to do my own thing. Hard heart says, the very moment that preacher begins to preach, I'm going to fall asleep because I really don't care what he's saying. And what Jesus is saying is, what is being pictured is that because a person's heart is hard, the moment that the Word of God is put towards his heart, Satan comes and snatches it away so that he doesn't even hear a thing, doesn't really care about what's being said, has no desire of ever living it out in their life. Hard heart. Notice there's a second heart here. It's found in verse 20 and 21. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word, and at once he receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. This is a superficial heart, a shallow heart. This guy hears the Word of God. This girl hears the Word of God. And the very moment they hear it, they're all excited. Man, this is so great. They start going to church. They start being, quote, religious. They start doing religious things. They may even start reading their Bible. They may start, you know, praying. They're doing those kinds of things. But then persecution and trouble comes. And as soon as it comes, they run. What Jesus is saying here is that when it really comes to the moment in your life where you got to either follow God or run the other way, these people run the other way. These are not the kind of people who stand there and say, look, you can kill me, but I love God. These are not the kind of people that say, you know what, My life is full of problems, but I'm not going to blame God. These are the kind of people that want nothing to do with God. They show like they did at the beginning, but then afterwards they don't. Then there's a third heart represented here. Verse 22. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the words of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. This is the worldly heart. This is the guy we read about in Matthew chapter 19. This is the heart where the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns are the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. In other words, this is the person that they are so caught up with the world. They may be in church, they may be doing the things that all Christians do, but really their heart is not with God. Their heart is on what this world has to offer. Their heart is on what wealth offers to give. Their heart is on what is going on in this world. They care more about the things of this world than they do really about God. This is the rich young man we were just reading about. And that's why Jesus said to him, look, take all that you have and go sell it and then come follow me. Man was unwilling to do that because the wealth, that's what his heart was taken with. He loved it. And he really, really did not and was not willing to do what God had to say. When push came to shove, he really didn't want God. So when he asked the question, what do I need to do to get eternal life? What do I need to do to get heaven? It was a serious question. It was a question on his heart. But when he found out what he had to do, he was unwilling because his heart was full of money. Let's get back with me to Matthew chapter 19. Verse 22, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to the disciples in verse 23, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? If this is the reality of things, who then can go to heaven? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. With God, nothing is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Let me just say it this way, as clear as I possibly can. If you are trying to get to heaven in any other means than with God, it's impossible. If you think you can get to heaven by any other means than trusting Jesus as your Savior, turning from your sin and beginning to live for Jesus Christ, repenting and following Jesus, not to get to heaven, but because you've already received Him as your Savior, you have trusted Him as your Lord, and now you want to live for Him because you love Him. If you are trying to get to heaven through any other means, I want you to know it is impossible. But with God, it is possible. With God, heaven can be certain. If you will trust Jesus as your Savior and Lord, believing that His death on the cross was payment in full for your sin, you can have a relationship with God, and you can be sure that your next breath after this world is in heaven with God. Let me go to a second thing. Turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. Looking at things that with God, all things become possible. Philippians chapter 4. I want you to know with God, victorious living is possible. Not only is heaven possible, but with God, victorious living is possible. We are at the very end of a year, in the beginning of a new year. And when we come to this time, everybody begins to make their vows, their promises, their New Year's resolutions of all the things they're going to do next year. And studies say that most of us never really keep them. But I want you to think about something as we get ready for this new year, and it has nothing to do with resolutions. It has nothing to do with promises. It has nothing really to do with goals. As we get ready to head into this new year, I want you to think about something. And it's just a simple thought. And it is this. With God, all things are possible. You know that thing in your life that maybe you're dealing with right now and you're saying, it's never going to get any better. It's just never going to get any better. It's just never going to get any better. With God, all things are possible. And you may look back at your life this past year and you say, I failed. I really messed up. And you know what? It wasn't just this year, but it was the year before and the year before that. And it just seems like my life, it just seems like I get everything wrong. I want you to know that with God, all things are possible. Even living life above all the problems, above all the troubles of this world. Living a life that does not allow all the junk of this world to just tear you apart and get you down and make you want to quit. I want you to know it is possible to live above all of that stuff. And I have proof. And it's found here in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. Follow along as I read. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Let me ask you this morning, can you say that? I hope there are some people here this morning that can say that. The word content here is a word that means to be enough for. So the Apostle Paul, God writing through Paul, is saying, look, I have learned that no matter what I am going through, that I have sufficient strength for whatever comes my way. Now, unfortunately, there are going to be some preachers who stand up in pulpits this morning and say to you, your best days are ahead. There are going to be some preachers who stand in pulpits and say to you this morning, or say to people this morning, next year is going to be better than last year. And God's going to give you great success, and you're going to have great things in the year to come. I want you to know I can't say that. Because I don't know. This past year has been the worst year for me ever of my health. I mean, it's just been horrible health-wise. And maybe you're facing a year coming that's going to be like that. Maybe the year coming, you might lose your job, or maybe this past year, you've lost your job and you're struggling financially. I can't tell you next year is going to be great and your finances are going to be wonderful and your health is going to be great. And I can't tell you that, but I can tell you this. I can tell you that no matter what comes your way, whether it is financial troubles, emotional difficulties, family struggles, life's problems, I can tell you this, that if you are willing to connect to God and trust God and turn to God and spend time in His Word and meditate on His Word and dig into His Word and apply God's Word and follow God's Word, I can tell you this, no matter what comes your way, you can be strong enough to meet whatever it is. I can tell you that. And if next year is the worst year that you have to face, I want you to know you can be enough for it. And the answer is found in the very next verse that I didn't read. Paul said everything that came his way, he learned to be content. He learned to be enough. Why? Verse 13. I can do everything through him, that is through Christ, through God, who gives me strength. Paul is not the little choo-choo train. that's climbing the hill saying, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think again. Paul's saying, look, I've learned in life, I've learned to lean on God. And by leaning on God, I've learned that no matter whatever comes my way, I'm strong enough for it because of Him. Because He gives me the strength. You know, we don't have time this morning. I wish we did. But we could begin in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 14, and begin to read all the things the Apostle Paul went through. In fact, if you have time, write down these chapters, Acts chapter 14, Acts chapter 14, chapter 16, chapter 20, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you get time this afternoon to read God's Word, I want you to read those passages. Acts 14, 16, 20, 2 Corinthians 6, and 2 Corinthians 11. Now, all of these verses don't deal with everything Paul went through, but some of these verses talk about when Paul went through. And if you read what Paul went through, you're going to sit back and say, how was he content in those situations? But it was because he trusted God, and he turned to God. I want you to know with God, victorious living is possible. You can live above your circumstances. But I don't want to stop there. There's another kind of thing that relates to that. I want you to know that with God, and this is part of the second point, that with God, victory over sin is possible. With God, victory over sin is possible. Turn with me just real quickly to Romans chapter 7. And I'm sure as I read Romans chapter 7, you're going to sit back and say, man, that sounds just like me. Romans chapter 7. Follow along as I read. Verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. Have you ever been there? For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Yeah, you want to do the right thing, but it seems like you just keep messing up. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin that works within my members. Have you been there? I mean, I want to do the right thing, but I mess up. And the things that I don't want to do, it seems like I keep doing them. He says, I don't even understand myself. I don't understand what I'm doing. Why do I keep messing up so much? Yeah, look at the next verse. What a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Who's going to help me with this? Who's going to help me to overcome this sinfulness? Who's going to help me to begin to do what is right and quit doing the wrong thing? The answer is God. With God, nothing is impossible. Don't buy into the lie. You know the lie that I mean. When we begin to say things like, well, you know, that's just the way I am. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's just so hard. I know that's what I need to do, but it's hard. I want you to know, if you will put yourself in a place where you find yourself with God, if you will trust God, if you will turn to God, if you will look to Him for help, I want you to know you can have victory over the sin that so easily besets you. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to give us life and to give us life to the full. People try to live their lives without God. People try to raise their children without God. People try to teach in the schools without God. People try to run governments without God. We try to live our lives without God. We try to get to heaven without God. We try to be happy without God. And really the answer is that with God, all things are possible. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed, just between you and God. I'm not going to ask you to make a resolution. I'm not going to ask you to make a promise. I'm just going to ask you to revolve that phrase around your head some. With God, nothing is impossible. Believe it. It is true. Whether it's getting to heaven, whether it is overcoming life's troubles, whether it's having victory over sin in your life, I want you to know the path to take is the path that takes with God. Father God, we are so thankful. We are so thankful that we can live this life with you. That you're there for us, that you care about us, that you love us so much. So I pray, Lord, this morning, if there's someone here that is struggling, that is ready to quit, that feels life is just too much, help them, Lord, this morning to turn to you. To trust you, to realize that with you all things are possible. If there's someone here this morning, Father, that is trying to get to heaven without you, trying their own way, I pray, Lord, they'd realize that what you did on the cross for our sin is payment in full. And I pray, Lord, that they would trust that payment for their salvation. Father, help us live this coming year with you. And not without you. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask.